And welcome back. February 5th came and went. We're in March now, and that marked a year when Ernst Zundel was arrested in his home in Tennessee, where he had been living peacefully with his wife Ingrid Rimland, on the pretext that he missed an interview date with immigration authorities. There's a lot to this story, but suffice it to say the man is clearly, as far as I'm concerned, in the Western world, the number one political prisoner. He is being held in solitary confinement under absurd conditions. I mean, the man is basically a pacifist, and we've covered the story from the beginning. You know most of it. I wanted Mark Weber to come back tonight to give us an update. He is, of course, from the Institute for Historical Review and has followed the case very closely, having known Mr. Zundel for years. And glad to have you back, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
Apparently, we have a little bit of good news this time.
Yeah, there's been some very interesting and gratifying developments in the Zundel case since the last time I was on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Several things. First, I can't give any names, but I was told by Ernst Zundel's wife that three U.S. congressmen are now looking into this case. There's been some movement on that angle. Ernst Zundel was virtually kidnapped at his home in Tennessee, as you mentioned, hustled off, sent off to Canada, and he's been held in solitary confinement ever since. But the circumstances under which he was taken are very dubiously, really outrageous. But the amazing thing is that he has very carefully tried to follow the American immigration law, and he's married to an American citizen.
Right.
And in spite of that, was arrested, taken up, and dumped over the border into Canada. Now, on Capitol Hill now, three congressmen are, his wife says, working on the case now. Now that's
I would nominate them for any number of awards immediately.
Well, we'll see when the rubber hits the road. Whether they're really willing to stick their neck out.
But, right. Well, if they are, I salute. And if they aren't, we try.
Right. Okay. In addition to that, through the Freedom of Information Act, Aaron Zundel's wife has uncovered some documents that show collusion between Canada's equivalent of the FBI or the CIA. It's called CSIS, C-S-I-S, the Canadian Security and Intelligence Service, that they were in collusion with American authorities to get Ernst Zundel arrested or rounded up here in the United States. Now, it's already an amazing thing because this is the same organization that has been holding him in solitary confinement on the basis, supposedly, as a threat to the national security of
Canada. Yeah.
Now, no public evidence has been presented to substantiate that charge. That's one of the most amazing aspects of this case, is the rank violation of long-established standards of justice in North America that a person is held on the basis of supposed evidence that he can't even see, much less refute. Now, there's two other things that are very important in this case. Just the other week, the magazine Counterpunch, you might have seen it online.
Oh, yeah.
In the print version, a two-page article, a rather lengthy article, appeared entitled The Persecution of Ernst Zundel, that is an emphatic, strong defense of Ernst Zundel and a strong indictment of the injustice against this man laid out in this article. As far as I know, this was the first article in an American, not a Canadian, but an American paper that fairly wide circulation that has been holding the banner for Ernst Zundel.
Counterpunch is an excellent first-class news for
a lot of very good material has appeared in that periodical over the last couple of years on inside goings on in the United States, the Iraq War.
I run a lot of their material.
Right. Now, finally, and I'm very gratified by this, the leading newspaper of record in Canada, Canada's equivalent of the New York Times, is called the Toronto Globe and Mail. That's the leading national newspaper. On March 6th, an editorial appeared in the Globe and Mail entitled Zundel Doesn't Want a Security Certificate. This is an editorial by the leading, most influential daily newspaper in Canada that says that the basis upon which he is being held is rubbish. There's no real basis to hold him.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he has no record of violence, he has no criminal record in Canada, and to hold him on the basis of this national security pretext is the paper says the real danger to Canadians, it says, doesn't come from Aaron Swindle, it says, but from a government that casually discards their most precious rights. And that's exactly what's happening in this case.
Casually and with malice aforethought.
With malice aforethought. Those are all very gratifying. Now, the editor itself, of course, doesn't get Aaron Swindle out of jail. He's been held in solitary confinement. One of the conditions, for example, is that he can't have a pen, he has to use pencils. The light is never turned off. He has to have the light on all the time.
That's
he's treated as if he's, well, as they say, a terrorist.
That's
it's low-grade absurd.
Torture. It's low-grade torture is what it is.
It's absurd. He's a 64-year-old man, as I say, no record of any violence, but he is victimized because of his views. And his views on World War II history, above all, have enraged organized Zionist groups in Canada, which have for years carried out this tremendous campaign to lock him up, to shut him up, and so forth.
And they've never succeeded.
They have not succeeded, no. Now,
because he has ultimately the law on his side. Unfortunately now, the law is being made to blur under great pressure from special interest groups.
Well, Jeff, I would say he has justice on his side. He has
there you go.
Right on his side. Whether he has law on his side, that's going to be a thing that all of us here have to be constantly vigilant about, because
right.
our rights are constantly under danger, especially in wartime. In wartime, governments do often horrendous things that they would never do normally because they can buffalo a lot of people into thinking it has to be done for their security.
Sure.
The importance of these articles, the article I mentioned, the editorial, now there's been other editorials in Canadian newspapers too that make the same point. These articles, of course, don't release Aaron Swindle, but what they do is encourage judges and other officials, political figures, to dare to stick their neck out.
Well, to let them know they have a bedrock underneath
right,
them. They're not
exactly.
just standing out on over the edge of a precipice.
Exactly,
sure.
exactly. Also, I don't remember when it was exactly the last time I was on, but Aaron Swindle has a first-class legal team in place in Toronto representing him.
He had gotten them.
Please?
He had just gotten them.
That's right, that's it, yeah. And that's a very encouraging thing, and they have proven every bit as capable and as hard-hitting as it seemed at the time when we last
mm-hmm,
talked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's another encouraging development.
How is Ernst holding up emotionally? Is he aware of the tremendous support he's getting now, growing support in America and in Canada? Is he
yes, he is aware of that because although he's in solitary confinement, he is able to make correct calls out. So he talks pretty regularly with his wife, and
yeah.
he's talked. He calls me sometimes. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've talked to him, talked with him maybe five, six times since he's been in prison.
Uh-huh.
And his spirits are the same as ever. If you know Aaron Swindle, you know that he's perpetually an optimistic, upbeat man who tries to always look both optimistic but at the same time realistically about whatever situation.
You know, there's a lot to be said for how a human being expresses him or herself through the arts. And I've got a story up there that I'd like all of you to look at. It's called Swindle Art, and the artwork of political prisoner Ernst Swindle. Take a look at the art, and I think you'll see a reflection of a man who is clearly, as we have described him, a pacifist, a man who is a kind man, who simply exercised his right as an alleged free human being on the planet, to look at World War II through his own eyes and with his own data and come to his own conclusions.
Right. I think that's very well put, Jeff, yes.
So I would urge all of you to go to the art, and there's a means that if you want to help contribute to the Ernst Swindle Legal Fund, you can do that. These artworks are all being done by Ernst in prison, apparently.
I would also mention in this regard a conference that will be held April 24th and 25th in Sacramento that's dedicated to Aaron Swindle. This is a revisionist history conference. There will be speakers from many different countries there. I was last told that there are more than 350, something like that, persons have already signed up, registered to attend this conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's shaping up as the sort of revisionist event of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are organizing it in Sacramento have been very, very active, dedicated, building support for the thing and preparing for it in that city. But the conference is, as I said, dedicated on Zindel. Quite a few of the speakers, I am sure, including me, will be talking about the Zindel case, which is a kind of litmus test for our rights in North America.
I agree. All right. And we're going to take a break here. We'll come right back with Mark Weber in just a minute. But let's take a look at those little drawings that are on the site. And think about the man. 1 year of his life now has been stolen from him in solitary confinement. Literally kidnapped from his home. It's a very ugly story, but a story that is relevant to all of us. Whether or not you agree with Ernst Zindel and his political, historical views, you have to accept the fact that our right to free thought, freedom of inquiry, and free speech is under grievous assault in various quarters. And do look at the website at rems.com and take a quick look at the feature stories at the top. I think you'll find a great deal of interesting reading when you see the Israeli lobby and how it has slipped an anti-free speech bill to our House of Representatives. It's the third feature story. I'd like you to read that very carefully. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Mark Weber is here, and we're talking about Ernst Zindel, who at this moment remains prisoner of conscience in cell number 7, which is a very interesting coincidence, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. You know, Linda mentioned people can find out much more about the whole Zindel case, because as you mentioned, it is a involved case on the Zindel site, website, and on our own website, ihr.org. There are several items, news items and commentary items posted on the homepage of our website with links to the Zindel site and other sites that will have voluminous information about all this matter. But as I say, it's very encouraging because it's taking place against, a backdrop around the world of greater awareness of the forces that also are behind the incarceration of Ernst Zindel. And that's a gratifying thing, I think.
Cell block, cell number 7 was the same, I think I've got the number right, the same cell that Rudolf Hess was held in for.
He was prisoner number 7.
Prisoner number 7.
Right. Mm-hmm.
An eternity.
Yeah.
Practically.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually murdered by the British, apparently. Okay, by the way, if you can't see it, you're not online, the artwork of Ernst is prefaced with this one paragraph. Let me read it to you. The sketches below were drawn by political prisoner Ernst Zindel, held captive for his thought crimes, end quote, in a modern, he's being held in Canada. These artworks were drawn under harrowing circumstances with stumps of children's crayons. Not even a chair is allowed. They are rapidly becoming collector's items as evidence of Ernst's indomitable spirit and his growing global fame as the best-known prisoner of conscience on the American continent. And again, I'd urge you to take a look at these, and at the bottom, if you want to make a small contribution, you're certainly encouraged to do so. Okay. This Israeli lobby issue has really bothered me since Michael Collins Piper has written it up. It's very important. And if you want to talk about that now for a minute or two, I'd like to.
Well, sure. Yeah. When I testified the last time in the Zindel case, it was before a so-called Human Rights Commission in Canada. And arrayed on one side was Ernst Zindel. But against him were lawyers representing the B'nai B'rith of Canada, League of Rights, which is their counterpart to the ADL and a Defamation League in this country, the Canadian Jewish Congress, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a phalanx of powerful Zionist organizations had lawyers out there to try to stop the publication on the Zumbel website of material that, through a very long and arduous court battle, had been made legal in print form in Canada.
Correct.
But these organizations were not content to have cut their losses with Aaron Sindel. They kept going after him for the material posted on the website, material that in printed form is even legal in Canada.
Right.
I mean, and these organizations, of course, are the same organizations which have been very active just recently in trying to suppress or stop the new Mel Gibson film, The Passion of the Christ.
Right.
Which is, of course, making all sorts of records around the United States in terms of box office receipts.
Right. I want to talk about that with you at some length. We have a break coming up just in a couple minutes. But let me, for our listeners who don't know about this and maybe not online, read just a little bit from Michael Collins Piper's article. It's called Israeli Lobby Slips Anti-Free Speech Bill Through House. The Israeli lobby has launched an all-out drive to ensure congressional passage of a bill already approved by the House and now before a Senate committee that would set up a virtual federal, now get this, a federal tribunal to investigate and monitor any criticism of Israel on American college campuses. Can you believe this? It's true, but it's science fiction, but it's real. 10 months ago, the New York-based Jewish Week newspaper claimed that a report by American Free Press that Republican members of the Senate were planning to crack down on college and university professors who were critical of Israel was a, quote, dangerous urban legend at best, deliberate disinformation at worst. In short, they were saying that the American Free Press lied. Now the truth has come out. On September 17, 2003, the House Subcommittee on Select Education unanimously approved H.R. 3077, the International Studies in Higher Education Act, which was then passed by the full House on October the 21st. The chief sponsor, and it goes on and on from there, but you can read the story up there, Mark. This is very dangerous stuff.
Well, I haven't read the story, so I really can't comment on it, but we know that these same organizations have a record, in certainly in other countries, of making illegal those views that they regard as contrary to their interests. And specifically over the Holocaust issue, as many of your listeners know, in a number of countries, it's a crime. It's illegal in Israel, in Germany, in several other countries, to question the standard Orthodox Holocaust story.
And there was technically, if you didn't accept 6 million, you said it was only 3 million, or a figure of 3, and you said only 2, that would be potentially a crime. You're not allowed to do your own studying and come up to your own conclusions.
Right, and of course the injustice of it is that it's applied selectively to this one chapter of history in a way that it's not to any other chapter of history.
Not to any other chapter of history. It's well said. It's all true.
It's an icon. Indeed, in our, you can tell the real values of a society by what it prohibits. And one can defame the religious beliefs of the people. You can hold any kind of view on any other aspect of history or religion, but when it comes to capital H Holocaust, this has the status of a quasi-religious icon in our society.
It does. All right. Hold on right there, and we'll continue.